We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
One of the most popular and most read features in local newspapers and websites are the food safety inspection results of restaurants and other places that prepare food. It seems that most restaurants have some violations, although many of them don't have major violations that would shut them down. The most common violations appear to be insects and equipment that isn't clean. But even those violations that are considered minor can lead to fines or even a suspension of a license if they're not corrected. Do the inspection results have an impact on diners choosing a restaurant? What actually goes into the inspections? With us on The Spark today is Shannon Powers, the press secretary with the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Shannon, good to see you.
Good to be here, Scott.
All right. So why do you think those food safety inspection results are so popular in local newspapers and websites?
It's not really a mystery. We love to eat out, but nobody wants that fun experience of eating out to be marred by, you know, foodborne illness later.
Mm-hmm. And is that basically what you're looking for, is foodborne illness?
That's one of the two things. And it's not... First, we're looking to ensure that food sold in Pennsylvania is safe to eat. That's our goal. It's not, we're not out to whammy anyone. But there are, it's a risk-based system. So we look at the things that would carry a risk of making someone sick.
Mm. You said that consumers are thinking about these things. This may be anecdotal, but do you have any evidence that consumers base their decisions on where to eat, where not to eat, based on something they've seen in those inspections?
I haven't done those analytics, but we do know that they're extremely popular. They're in newspapers all around the state, on websites. We've put the information out there and tried to make it as transparent as possible. People were quite pleased when we created the Eat Safe PA app, which, you know, you can find this information not just in your local newspaper if they run it, but you can find it on our website. You can look up any restaurant or, another retail food facility, and you can find out what's their history of inspections, how do they do. You can drop a pin in the map on the Eat Safe PA app and look for places around you.
Mm. So there's actually a history there.
There's a history. You can see the past inspections there, not going back to the dawn of time.
Right.
But there is a history there. You can see recent inspections. And you can see it's very, you call up a detailed report that goes through those foodborne illness risks. But then it also goes through good management practices. And that can be things like, how the food is stored or how the utensils are stored, that kind of thing. There's a lot of details there that are just good practices. They may not make someone sick.
Who or what are inspected in Pennsylvania?
So retail food is more than just restaurant inspections. It covers pretty much any place that food is sold out of the package. In other words, not just potato chips and things that are in sealed containers. It covers food trucks, convenience stores, if they prepare food, which many of them do now. It covers restaurants and bars, hotels, that kind of places that serve food retail.
Schools.
It does cover schools, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Every school in Pennsylvania that has a cafeteria is inspected?
Absolutely.
Hmm. How often are they inspected? And I'm not just talking, say, them. I mean more than schools. I mean these retail establishments, everything that you just named. How often are inspections required?
They're basically once they're required before a restaurant opens initially. Then when it changes hands, which happens a lot. And then once a year after that, unless there are complaints or unless that restaurant during its first year hasn't had three good compliant inspections in a row. Mm-hmm. So basically once a year.
You mentioned complaints. Who would a consumer complain to? Because I would think that their first complaint would be to the manager, maybe the server, then the manager. But after that, if they want to complain, who do they complain to?
There is a space on our website, which is agriculture.pa.gov. You can look under consumer protection and you'll find food safety. And there's a food safety complaint form that you would submit to the department. But you're not complaining about service
and those kinds of things.
They are food safety complaints.
Mm-hmm. And when what would constitute a food safety complaint for a consumer?
That's a really good question. What would constitute a food safety complaint? A lot of them are if they observe something they know is out of place, like they see something that's like a moldy ice machine, or they see insects or vermin. It can be anything, though.
Mm. The word vermin in relationship to food just doesn't really sit with me very well.
Varmints and food don't go together.
No, not at all. Not all are inspected, though, by the Department of Agriculture, are they?
That's a good point. There are approaching 100 local health departments in Pennsylvania, and those may be in tiny communities. Then there are seven county health departments, and those are mostly in the big densely populated counties.
Yeah, Philadelphia has its own.
Allegheny.
The bigger counties, the bigger cities. So one of the things that I've noticed is that, just reading through the results of these reports, is that most restaurants have some violations. Doesn't mean they're dirty, doesn't mean it's unhealthy, but that there are some things that they just can't avoid. Is that the case?
Well, you have to keep in mind that that inspection is a surprise, so it can be at any point.
Oh, it is a surprise.
It's a surprise. So, you know, if something's like a countertop is not clean, when that inspector is there, that the inspector has to note that on the form. They're going through sort of a set of standards that all pose risks, and that would be a retail practice standard if the countertop is not clean. Or one of my favorites has always been the way that the washcloths are stored, because I am guilty of this at home. You leave the washcloths sort of wadded up on the sink and wet. Yeah. That is a risk that creates germs.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't create germs. That's not scientifically accurate.
Okay, so we got your favorite violation because you do it. So. But anyway, I understand where you're coming from, because some of those things that I will read in the violations, list of violations, like, ooh, I didn't even know that was a violation. But there are some that are more common than others. Insects, for example. You mentioned vermin, but rodents are another example of something that you see often. Food storage, cleanliness in the kitchen. What are some of the most common? I may have listed them all right there, but what are some of the most common violations?
Well, the ones that you've listed, the ones that reporters who do the published food safety violations are always puzzled about is the mold on the ice machine.
Mm-hmm.
You have to clean your ice machines. You have to store your utensils properly. And those kinds of things are noted. But if you'll read down the inspection form, you'll see notes at the bottom. And if something is corrected on site before that inspector leaves, that's noted. If it is not corrected, it might prompt a follow-up inspection, depending on how many violations there are. But some things are in the eyes of the consumer relatively minor, but they are requirements. You have to post the person in charge and their ServSafe license that has, so issues like that.
What is considered a major violation?
A major violation, food safety inspectors can only close a business for an imminent risk to human health. And that, you keep bringing up vermin, that's one. And it's not always something that's under the owner's control. That's a big thing to point out. For example, if it's flood season, if the restaurant floods, you can't stay open safely and serve food safely. If you have no hot water, which may be out of your control, you can't sanitize anything properly, so you can't stay open until that issue is corrected. So there are all kinds of issues like that. If there is a big opening that's letting in those insects, then you have to fix that.
Yeah. Very often when you talk about insects or you talk about rodents, it comes in the form of maybe a package, a box that has arrived from the distributor. That it's not necessarily that the establishment is dirty or anything, but an insect or a mouse or something has, hitched a ride on something, right?
Right. Or if you, for example, live along a river, there is, you have particular challenges based on your location. If you live along a river, if you have a lovely pastoral restaurant that's alongside a field, you have different risks than other people have.
Shannon, you mentioned when an establishment is shut down that something is imminent. Is that the only time something's shut down, or if there are multiple violations?
That's the only time that we can shut something down. Now, local codes can shut something down too. That's aside from food safety, like building code issues, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we can only shut it down if there's an imminent risk to human health. And sometimes it is the severity of the particular violation that does that.
So if there is an establishment that has a lot of violations month after month, because they've been inspected multiple times, even though they're considered minor, they don't add up to a shutdown.
Follow-up inspections to correct issues that have not been corrected and need to be corrected could lead to fines and a hearing and that sort of thing. But that's really not common.
So if there is a violation, what happens to the establishment?
The reports are posted and they're easy to find. And typically, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. There's no penalty for the establishment. That's not what it's about. It's about educating their staff, working with those business owners to make sure that their customers are safe. That's what every business owner wants. Nobody wants to make their customers sick.
Mm-hmm. But there does reach a point where fines can be imposed and court action taken, right?
That is correct. It wouldn't be court action. It would be an administrative action, typically.
Mm-hmm. Walk us through a food safety inspection, if you can. I don't know whether you've ever actually been on one or not. I know that the farm show, we were talking beforehand, you said the farm show always gets a lot of attention. But if you could, just kind of walk us through a food safety inspection, what the inspectors are looking for.
Well, the easiest way to do that is actually to look up a form on our food safety inspection reports. They're going through a checklist, and the violations that are listed in the PA Food Code are numbered. And you can actually look up how frequent a violation is. There's all kinds of data there beyond just looking up those individual reports. But walk us through an inspection. They're going to first observe the facility itself, things like a big gap in a screen door, or they're going to notice, are the sinks in the right place? Are they clean? They go through this checklist. So they're walking around and looking. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a long time since I've been on a food safety inspection, but the first thing they look for is that person in charge present, and is that ServSafe license to show that they're trained, is that posted? And then they go through, they walk around with that person, and they talk with that person about things that they need to do a better job of.
Mm. You know, this is an anecdotal thing, but I wonder if there was any correlation. I've often heard that if a restroom is clean, or depending on how clean it is, that correlates to the rest of the establishment, but especially the kitchen. Anything to that?
I have no idea whether anyone's done that research, but absolutely the restroom, the standards for the restroom, they need to have the posted notice that you always see about whether or not the staff have washed their hands. Hand washing is a big thing. And that's one of those things that people are surprised at. If you have a retail food place, you have to have a hand washing sink that's separate from your dishwashing sink. And that's important for kind of obvious reasons when you think about it, but a lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah. What about gloves and hair nets, beard nets, that kind of thing? What's the law say?
Wow, you've asked one that I actually don't know the answer to.
Okay.
But that is likely to be listed under the retail practices.
Hmm. Food temperature regulations. This is something that a lot of people do pay attention to food temperatures, especially when it comes to beef, for example. My daughter has a thing about well done versus extremely well done or medium rare or that kind of thing. You know, that is something that I'm sure inspectors are looking for.
Absolutely. And the requirements for an establishment are based on the kind of food they serve. For example, you know, I'm a big lover of seafood and shellfish, but shellfish requires storage at certain temperatures. It requires certain sanitation practices. It's one of those things. One of the retail food licenses that we didn't mention was you can register to produce retail food in your home, like jams and jellies and cookies are a frequent thing, but it comes with, again, inspection and requirements. You can't register to produce shellfish in your home and sell at retail.
Really?
Residential kitchen can't meet those kind of requirements.
Oh, I was going to say that there are some foods that are more sensitive to problems, and shellfish obviously is one where you do hear about people getting sick. As I was reading through, you know, some of the regulations, saw that chicken and poultry have to be on the bottom shelves of a freezer. You know why?
Oh, I should know that one, too. it's because if there is a fluctuation in temperature, it risks the food that's stored below it. What's even more important than, that's one of those frequent violations that you mentioned. The food maybe not be properly labeled that's in the refrigerator. Aside from the temperature that it's kept at, it has to be properly labeled so that you can tell you're not using something that's past its prime. But also out in your, not just your serving environment, but your cooking environment, you don't store cleaning products above where you're preparing or serving food because that poses a risk if you spill it. We had a very prominent poisoning case a number of years back in this region where that was exactly what had happened. It was a salad bar.
Yeah.
Couldn't think of that word.
Yeah.
It was a salad bar, but there had been a cleaner stored improperly, and it had fallen over and
gotten
in the food.
And, again, kind of sickening to think about it.
It is, but it can happen.
If I remember correctly, it was a child that got sick and got really sick.
I believe so, yes. It was a tragic situation, but it just goes to show you the risks everything is based on risks.
So what should consumers look for when they're looking at your website or, you know, in the safety inspections that are in the newspaper on websites?
Well, you can see what kind of inspection it is, when it was. You can see how frequently they're inspected. And make sure that you scroll down that page on the inspection report to see the notes, because they may have corrected the issue. There's an FAQ there. There's a lot of information at agriculture.pa.gov under consumer protection. Or on the EatSafe PA app is another way to get to it from anywhere you are.
Hmm. I would imagine that there are some establishments out there that these inspection reports have either kept consumers from going there or maybe even attracted them because they get a good report.
I'm sure that's true.
So it is in the business owner's best interest to make sure that everything is safe and everything will be clean. So one question, and I don't know whether you can answer this or not, but there seems to be some question about dates, use-by dates, eat-by dates on food. Now, this doesn't necessarily come down to safety inspections, although I'm sure they look at some of the dates on those things. But can you clear that up?
You've asked the most complicated question with no time left.
Well, we got about 30 seconds.
And that's not the Bureau of Food Safety at the Department of Agriculture doesn't govern that. But they do look at the products in a retail kitchen to see if they are if there are products there that are past their use-by date or past their sell-by date.
There's a whole show we can do on that.
That would be a big one.
Whether I can eat something that says sell-by dates and eat-by dates, that kind of thing. Shannon Powers is the press secretary with the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. Shannon, thank you very much for being with us today.
Great to be here.